van de Brussels Sprouts.
Een festive movie.
Every bit of Christmas is living well. Sainsbury's, live well for less.
Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros,
and welcome back to another Leaving the Ring Radio special edition. I haven't done one of these in a long time, man, where I come on and talk, do a post, thoughts on a fight that has happened. I don't know how long it's been. I think it's been like 2-3 years maybe, or even longer. But anyways, I thought I'd do one because I didn't do a show this week. And I figured, well, I got the itch. I might as well come on. I just finished watching David Lemieux be outboxed by Billy Joe Saunders. They fought for the WBO World Middleweight title. BJ goes to 25 undefeated. And Lemieux, well, he stays at 38 wins with 33 KOs, but now he has 4 defeats on his record, not 3 anymore. Now, you know, I tell you what, I didn't watch, I'm not going to talk about the other undercard, something like that, because really strictly, this is what I wanted to do, was come on here and give you my thoughts and what I think should happen next, what I witnessed and what I think should be in the future set for both of these men, because I think there's a lot here to be done. A lot of us wrote off BJ Saunders because of inactivity, and Lemieux, you know, was this big, strong middleweight, and if he touches you, a lot of the times you're going to, you know, a lot of times you're going to crumble, you know. Not everybody's made like a Triple G. Not everybody can move, cut the ring off, use the jab. He's got good, decent power. I mean, good's got good power. It's going to keep you at bay. But BJ Saunders went out there and he used his footwork. He did something that was kind of similar to what we saw this past Saturday with Lomachenko and Rigondeaux. The only thing difference is David Lemieux never gave up in the fight. He kept going, even though in the interview after on HBO, he did mention some hand injury. Well, you know, and a couple folks were just kind of texting me that. They're like, how are these guys getting hand injuries and stuff, you know? Well, you know, I guess the air is pretty thick there in the ring. So let's get down to it here, what I witnessed. And I'll start patching in fight fans here because I see the phone lines are starting to stack up really quick here on the line. I mean, we got to give kudos to BJ Saunders, okay? This guy talks a lot of crap. He goes out there and he gets in the head of his opponents. He gets, you know, he kind of basically just gets right in their face. He dogs them out. And then he gets in the ring and he pretty much dogs you out again. You know, at one point on the 6th round, but even before I get that, when I witnessed with David Lemieux, and I stuck to my prediction, I had said David Lemieux by 9th round TKO or KO. Because I figured BJ Saunders was going to take the early rounds. I figured that he was going to do pretty much what we've seen him try to box. But I thought that the pressure that David Lemieux was going to bring, and at least the power, you know, being able to touch his arms or maybe even his hip or his waist or whatever he can land on, would probably slow him down in those later rounds. And then eventually BJ Saunders would have been a little too overconfident and decided to trade with David Lemieux and then get caught and get taken out of there, okay? So no disrespect to David BJ Saunders. I just figured that could be the possible route, okay? I didn't take out the equation that BJ Saunders could go out there and box his ass off and make David Lemieux look like he didn't belong in the ring with them, right? But I kind of put that in the back burner, you know? I just figured, nah, he's going to slow down. He's going to be on that bicycle for a while, and he's going to have a big, strong middleweight come at him with a lot of power, okay, and a lot of determination. David Lemieux was coming off of some wins, so the wheel was spinning with David Lemieux. So I know a lot of folks were, I know a lot of UK fans were picking BJ Saunders. Absolutely so. I mean, I figured they would, right? So then what happened was, I think on the 6th round, we saw David Lemieux get rocked. He was getting caught a lot, and he was huffing and puffing. Even before that, with the weigh-in, I mean, he looked drained. he looked so drained that I was even like kind of rethinking my decision of picking him, because I was like, goddamn, dude, he does not look good at all. A big gust of wind comes by, this guy's going to flop over. So he goes in there, and even from the first and the second round, you could see that David Lemieux looked, you know, he just looked slow. I mean, he's not the fastest dude in the world unless you're in front of him, but he looked really slow. And it had a lot to do with, you know, either the weight was a problem in his camp. I'm not making excuses for him. But, you know, because in all reality, BJ Saunders had a big part of making him look shitty, right? But then the sixth round comes around, and I swear to you, when BJ Saunders decided to let his hands go and stand and trade and hold his ground, I was going, oh, shit. We're seeing Rubio all over again. David's mouth is hanging open. He's breathing hard. He's getting clipped, and his legs look shot. His legs look like they're ready to call it quits and go home. But the heart of Lemieux stayed in the fight, kept going. And, you know, it just kind of seemed like a repeat of every single round. I think the 11th round, I think it was the 10th or 11th round, you saw Dave starting to, you know, kind of get desperate and did land some pretty decent shots, but they weren't enough to rock or hurt BJ Saunders. So we got I got to eat crow. I don't know if anybody's going to call in and celebrate that they made their pick with BJ Saunders, but I did see a lot of people going with David Lemieux. So I definitely got to eat crow, got to give props to BJ Saunders, because he went out there, didn't make it a stinker. He fought his ass off. He used the footwork. He used the ring, which I got to say, you know, Gabriel Montoya even texted me. He's like, dude, is this ring huge or is it just me? And I'm like, it is. It's massive. So there was a good play there for BJ Saunders. He was able to use every little inch and square footage of and took advantage of it. And when he decided, when he did decide to stop and trade with David Lemieux, it was at the right time and right moments. He timed everything perfect. He saw that Lemieux was tired. He saw that he was sluggish. His punches didn't have a real good snap. So he was able to risk certain moments. He knew that the momentum was always going to be on his side because Lemieux just didn't seem to be in the fight. He had the dog in him to keep biting, but fortunately, he wasn't a pet bull in this one. You know, couldn't clinch. He couldn't clinch on a BJ Saunders. So that being said, we saw the victory, rightfully so. The WBO strap staying around the waist of BJ Saunders. So let's pass in some fight fans, and then we'll get a little bit of what I think should happen next for both men. Let's go with area code 570. You're on live right now and leaving the ring, man. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just want to say tonight was a good fight, and I was one of the guys that picked Saunders for the 10th round, though. That was my pick.
There you go.
I seen
man,
him fight
good be- pick. Yeah.
Yeah, I seen him fight before. I know he has that, not comparing him to Ali in any form, but he has that style. Like, he gets in, he's got a pretty quick jab, and he knows how to move around. And I knew Lemieux doesn't have the endurance to go later on. I'm shocked that really Saunders, how he kept that going for the late
I'm
fight.
I'm shocked too.
So
he never looked tired, man. I mean, he just kept a nice steady pace. But you know what too? When you're able to make a guy slow down when he's trying to be aggressive, and you're able to kind of just keep your pace and breathe correctly, you can probably go all night, you know. And I think that was BJ Saunders' whole strategy, was he knew that he had a guy that was one-dimensional. He was going to come always in one direction. So he didn't have to worry about, you know, being trapped or the ring being cut off. He was going to be able to dictate it like a matador. And he looked great.
He did. He did, and I agree. You know, a lot of people don't style, but I do. And I like it against an aggressive style like Lemieux, because like you said, he's just a one-dimensional fighter. The perfect style for a guy like that. I don't know how it would be against GGG, but I think he's in the decline. I think he would. That's, to me, is the best fight for him next, because nothing against Danny Jacobs, but for him in the UK, if he could bring GGG over there, I mean, with that fan base, it would be kind of like a Super Bowl atmosphere over that. And I think the would be perfect for GGG.
Absolutely. I mean, if they cannot figure out the negotiation, which I've been hearing, it's really close of it being, you know, signed and delivered on both parts. I don't think they're left. I believe they're trying to find the right venue to hold the fight between Canelo and Triple G. The obvious choice would be BJ Saunders. You know, I'm not even sure if BJ Saunders is going to want Danny Jacobs, though, at this moment. You know what I mean? I mean, why go after a really tall, big boxer puncher? a style. I mean, I think he would probably go a different route, or maybe even sit it out and wait. The money's there for him.
I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. And I think it's perfect for him, and it's ripe, especially with the fan base that would love to see him fight GGG over there. I think it would be too dangerous for him to fight Danny Jacobs, especially with the comparison of money between him and GGG. So the smart
absolutely,
fight would
yeah.
be for him.
It's going to piss off absolutely. The fans, though. It's going to piss the
right.
fans off because, you know, they want to see him fight next. You know, they don't want to see him sit out. I mean, a lot of times when fighters have a big moment that they want, you know, fight fans want that momentum. You know what I mean? We always forget that boxing is still a business. We don't want to hear that, but the truth is there. It's still a business. These guys got to make a living, and they got to make the right choices, and fighters are getting smarter about that.
You're absolutely 100% correct. Absolutely. For a fight fan, sure, do you love to see him fight Danny Jacobs, but for the business aspect for him, I wouldn't blame him for sitting out waiting for GGG. That would be definitely the smartest move for definitely for him.
Absolutely, brother. Hey, man, thank you for calling, and I'm going to take another caller. I appreciate it. Stay on hold.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Hey, have a good night.
You too, brother. You know, I mean, I think the other obvious choice for BJ Saunders at the moment would be Demetrius Andre, who was supposed to be there ringside. But when it comes to money-wise, is he the right choice? You know, it's a competitive fight. I think fight fans could probably be divided. You know, Demetrius is a solid, talented – he's a talented fighter. He's still got a lot of proof in the ring. But when you just dismantled a power puncher and probably I would have to say the third most popular middleweight right there out there right now – In the boxing world, I mean, you can argue about the Charlos and all that, but we're you know, in Canada, he's one of the most popular guys there, right? BJ Saunders probably and Frank Warren are going to say, you know what, we're gonna pump the brakes a little bit. Let's hold on just for a moment, and let's see what happens between Canelo and Triple G, which is being mentioned to happen in Cinco de Mayo, which is now realistically 6 months away. Not that far off. You know, but let's pass to another fight fan here on Leaving the Ring. Let's talk some boxing. Let's see if somebody wants to celebrate their pick or eat their crow. Here, 209, you're on live right now on Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just want to talk about the fight.
Go for it, brother.
Man, Saunders look good, dude. Saunders look pretty good. There are two
yeah.
different levels. There are two different levels. I mean, the Muse just couldn't catch him, couldn't land anything. I mean, couldn't do nothing with him. I mean, really.
Hey, let me ask you this. Because yeah. Lemieux is a small middleweight, and he's recorded as 5'8". Let me ask you, bro, did he look small to you? I mean, I don't know. Maybe my eyes are getting too old, but I saw a little guy trying to catch a guy that was taller and had great movement. His short feet just didn't seem to be able to take that extra half step to play catch-up to BJ Saunders. It was almost like BJ kind of knew, you know, like he knew exactly what was going to be thrown and how David Lemieux was going to step forward.
Yeah, yeah. He did look a little bit smaller out there. But you know, I'll be honest, this is the first time I saw Saunders fight. I mean, him being from the UK, he fights at, 1 o'clock in the afternoon over here? This is like
the first
time I saw him fight. So, you know, I didn't really know what to expect from him, you know, but I've heard of him. And, you know, I'm just curious. I mean, he pretty much outboxed Lemieux. I mean, he pretty much outclassed him. So why hasn't he faced Triple G? I mean, I think he can give Triple G a run for his money, not so much knock him out, but, I mean, his boxing skills, I mean, they're pretty good. They're pretty decent.
Well,
different animals
always have to be tamed different ways. And I think that would be the argument. I think fans want to see now BJ Saunders because it is a fight that's been built up. It is a fight that has been talked about. It was a fight that was mentioned and probably even, offered. But I believe, if I remember correctly, it was either both parties or one party couldn't come to agreement on money. You know, now, though, with the dismantle that BJ Saunders showed, I think it's a high demand. But again, the fans and even the casual fans still are stained in their mind the draw that happened between Canelo Alvarez and Gennady Golovkin. They want to see the repeat to finally get the label of who was the winner, you know, once and for all. So I think Big Daddy Sean has got to stay on those sidelines and figure out what he's going to do next. But I think he's in the right position right now to stay on those sidelines and figure it out because, like I said, getting in with Danny Jacobs is a high risk, but it is a risk that a lot of us love to see fighters do.
You know who I would like to see Daniel Jacobs paired up with is Lemieux. I mean, that would be a good undercard for Canelo Triple G. I mean, you know, just in my own personal opinion.
I think so too.
But you know what? I'm actually impressed with Saunders. I mean, you're right, dude. He every step he took. I mean, Lemieux was like two steps behind. I mean, wow. I'm speechless right now. You know, at the boxing class I saw.
Right. No, I mean, I think everybody was because I was like, okay, he. You know what? I knew that Saunders had real boxing skills. There was nothing you can't take away the guy. He's a champion for a reason, okay? But I was like, look, he hasn't really, you know, the class of fighters he's fought are not the A-level that you would think, okay? Now, I'm not saying Lemieux's an A-level guy. You know, he's a solid B-level slugger puncher. If you match him with the right guy and the guy stands in front of you, you know, 9 out of 10, Lemieux's going to take you out of there, okay? So that was the big question that I had over Saunders. How well was he going to box? How long was he going to box? And it was his temperament and was the pride going to finally kick in and make him stay there too long and a little too late to wait for the receipt and he was going to get paid out. But guess what? He didn't do it. He actually dictated the pace. Great ring ownership. Every time Lemieux jabbed, he jabbed over Lemieux's jab, which made Lemieux, you know, fall forward head first so that when by the time he looked up to try to throw a straight right or a left hook, BJ Saunders was right around his back. You know, I mean, there's one thing I've got to say about Lemieux, and I think that this is what I've heard. Originally, I think the plan was going to be if Lemieux won, it was going to be Lemieux and possibly Danny Jacobs. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Now things have changed. Let's see what happens here. Lemieux is what you would call a one trick pony, but a very good one trick pony. Okay. You know, he's a John Molina Jr. You got the right guy in front of you that's willing to go balls for balls. He's going to show you whose balls are bigger. Not saying that BJ Saunders didn't do it because in the sixth round, hey, I was like, oh, dude, Saunders is going to get Lemieux out of here. There's going to be, and that would have been a bigger celebration for the UK Saunders fans because he was going to, he almost got the guy out of there. You know, his legs looked shot. It looked gone. But instead he went back, he composed himself, and he gave him a boxing clinic. Kudos to BJ Saunders, man. Big time.
Yeah, but you know what? I think most boxing fans will appreciate a Lemieux versus Daniel Jacobs. I mean, I know I would. I'd be like, yeah, all right, I'm staying home for this fight.
You know what's funny? I think Lemieux, if you think of it this way, the way the 80s with the welterweights looked, you know, with the middleweights, they mixed it. They mixed and matched. The way the 90s look with De La Hoya, Corte, Obakar, Trinidad, Mosley, the way that time look is the way the middleweights are starting to look. You put Lemieux with Charlo, I think we're going to have a great fight. You put Danny Jacobs with Charlo, great fight. You know, Charlo with Lemieux, great fight. BJ Saunders with Charlo, great fight. I think you can mix and match here. Whatever guy gets a loss, I still think that you still have great potential fights among all these guys. Like I said, Demetrius Andre is still out there. There's a kid with a lot of talent there that hasn't really been, you know, shown the possibility because he hasn't been matched with a higher level competitor. So great matches in the middleweight division. It's very exciting right now for the middleweight division.
Yeah, but realistically, I mean, you mentioned the Charlo brother, and I would like to see him face some of these guys, but realistically, those guys from the other side of the fence, they don't typically cross over unless they're getting super paid, like Daniel Jacobs did when he fought Triple G.
Think about this though, because that's very true. You know, typically the PBC guys. Haven't been playing in the sandbox with the other promoters, okay? But, you know, there's a lot of talks that the UFC is going to do a bailout for for Al Heyman. There's a lot of talk that the ESPN and now Fox Sports, they're looking for original content, content that they can own, no longer borrowed. Okay, they don't want to borrow any content. They want to own that content. So if the UFC steps in, or anybody else, or Al Heyman continues to go on with the PBC, eventually they're going to have to step out of their realm. And that's going to be a good thing. I don't see the Charlos doing it immediately right now, because there's still some other middleweights in the PBC universe that they can put themselves up against. But eventually that's going to run out. And when that runs out, I tell you what, it's going to be an explosive middleweight fight happening down the line.
You know, check this out. As a fan, I watch boxing a lot. I don't consider myself a diehard, but I'm not a casual, because look, I'm calling you guys.
Right.
But you
you're a diehard,
you know,
brother.
I'm not gonna hold my breath waiting for somebody from the PVC to cross the street. I mean, I'm not gonna do it. I know they're good fights to be made. But as a fight fan, realistically, dude, if I hold my breath, man, I'd be purple, blue.
But you don't need to, because we got great. You got Canelo, you got Triple G, got BJ Saunders, Lemieux, Danny Jacobs.
Yeah.
Those five guys, I mean, and Andrade, Andre, Demetrius, Andre, six guys. Those guys alone make great fights.
Guys,
you can mix and match. Yeah. You know?
Yeah,
Charlos
are going to
be
the
window watchers. You know, they'll be the window watchers, but we'll see. We'll see what happens here, man. Anyways, brother, thank you for calling in. I'm going to put you back on hold, okay?
Yeah. Thank you very much. I'm going to be listening to your show, all right?
All right, brother. Thank you.
All right, later.
Let's patch in on another fight fan here on Leaving Ring. Let's go area code 323. You're on live right now on Leaving Ring. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's up? Hello?
Is this Gabe? Hello?
Hello,
can you hear me?
Alonzo?
What's going on, brother? Alonzo, how you doing, brother?
Good on yourself.
Good, man.
Like the time I listened to the show last time was, I think Steve Kim was on the line. I think he hung up on the guy that wanted Lomachenko to move up to 47. That was hilarious. But anyways, the fight was fight was good. I was leaning towards BJ Saunders before the fight started. I seen a couple of his fights, 2 p.m. fights, so it kind of didn't surprise me. But at the same time, I was like, wow, Lemieux might catch him. He might catch him late. But like you brought up earlier about when you saw him at the weigh-in and he looked like a little flabby, that's what I was kind of paying attention to also. I tweeted to Steve today, and I think he retweeted it. When I saw Lemieux at the for the weigh-in, I saw him cutting weight. For the May 5th fight, he was on the undercard of Canelo and Chavez, and he looked like really, really bad. I was right there at the little MGM gym. And then, I don't know, I think he, I don't know if he still has the same strength and condition, nutrition is going on, but like, I don't think he looks the same. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I was saying that to the last caller. I was like, was it me or did he look smaller? Like, he actually looked like he was 5'8". You know, I know it's recorded he's like 5'8", 5'9", but his legs look smaller. If you go watch this when he fought Stevenson, right? They're both bulked up. They both show they have muscle mass.
Correct.
On this one, he looked like he just kind of, you know, it was like there, but it wasn't there. The definition wasn't there. I'm not, like I said, I don't want to take nothing away from BJ Saunders, because I think BJ boxed beautifully. He made a great display of what boxing's supposed to look like. You know, when you are at the top level where you're at and you're a champion and you got a dangerous puncher, you don't make stupid mistakes. You make the other guy make mistakes, right? But I go look there and I go, one is like my co-host Gabriel Montoya texts me. He's heading to go to a club because it's Saturday night. That tells you how much of I'm a homer, dude. I'm home on a Saturday night watching the fight, right?
And
he goes, dude, he's all, bro, does that ring look super huge or what? And I'm like, it does. That ring obviously benefits the boxer, not the slugger.
Yeah.
Slugger wants something more, you know, confined, you know, where he could find the guy that he wants to throw a punch and land on. But you know, I go again. I watch Lemieux, and I'm like, well, first in the weigh-in, he looks super drained. I don't know if I've seen him that drained before. I mean, they almost look like, you know, when Canelo and even Cotto were asking to fight Lemieux, and they were saying, oh, 154, what, you know, catch weight 156, and he was like, nah, ain't going to happen. Seeing right now how he looked yesterday, yeah, dude, that would have not worked at all.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
His stamina has always been in question, but mm-hmm. it looked even worse after the fourth, fifth round, and especially that sixth round where he looked like a fish out of water. And BJ Saunders has got an, I mean, this guy's a professional. He's looking at the guy and he's like, okay, this is the perfect moment for me to sit on my punches and see what I can do with this guy. See if I can, you know, make a mess out of his face. And he did.
Yeah,
absolutely
did.
I was like, Rubio all over again, you know? It looks like Lemieux's going to get knocked out, you know?
Right. Yeah, I thought the
unbelievable.
Same thing. That was like after the six, I was like, oh, wow. Lemieux's mouth is open. He's busted up, and I'm just like, damn. But BJ, wow. He kind of wowed everybody. Hopefully we get to see more of his HBO in the U.S. fights, because it's kind of hard to see him. You got to be watching him like at 2, 3 p.m. streaming it when he's fighting in the U.K., you know. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. And then, like you guys brought it up earlier, I mean, the division is stacked. Even with Charlo there, like, he probably won't be involved because he's a PBC guy. But, I mean, you got Bubu Andrade and then Canelo, Triple G. On and on, you know. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, BJ was ahead of him. Like you said, he was moving around the ring real well, fainting well. Then he'll change his stance, too. He'll put his hands up, hands down. And then that missile jab, he was like never missing.
Yeah. I got to say this. You know, Lemieux, I know when you get defeated like this and you get outboxed, mm-hmm. outschooled, whatever you want to call it, especially in your hometown, okay, you're 15 minutes away from there. He said, I live 15 minutes away from here. You go there, you have all your friends and family and fans out there rooting for you, okay? And you get outboxed. And I think I only gave him a mercy round, which was, I think it was the 10th or 11th. I have to go back and watch. Okay, the rest of the rounds were BJ Saunders. Right now, where does Lemieux go? I think he sits out for a little bit. I think he's got to regain his composure, regain his pride, because his pride was actually kind of not beating out of him, but it was ghost out for a while. It's got to be ghost out for a while, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So
it has to.
Danny Jacobs sitting back, or Andrade sitting back, right, watching ringside, they have to sit there and go, well, the two moneymakers, the cash cow is going to be fighting one of the guys that's mostly considered the dangerous man in the middleweight division in the world. They're going to rematch again. So that kind of still leaves me as the out man. David Lemieux, I don't see him probably getting back in the ring until he, you know, is able to come outside for a while. Because I think he's going to be sheltered in his home for a little bit. I don't think he's going to come out. I think he's going to be embarrassed.
Yeah, that was
I mean?
Pretty bad today. Yeah, it was just like another level. Like, it was just two completely fighters in there.
He got outboxed by Triple G.
Yeah.
Right. And here's the difference. Triple G outboxed him, but beat him down where they stopped it. He was getting a really good one-sided beatdown.
Right.
BJ Saunders outboxed him and made him look amateur. Which one's more damaging? Right?
Probably this one.
I think this one, bro. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, if you're a fighter, you could take, well, I went and I fought my ass off, and this guy was just stronger, bigger than me, and you know, he's the best fighter in the world, you know? He's the monster of the division. Nobody wants to fight this guy. I stepped up. But BJ Saunders was a guy that, like, you know, Triple G was calling out. A couple people were calling out. You know, a lot of folks, you know, didn't respect Saunders' style and what he brought to the table. So Lemieux was like, what did he say? I'm going to kill him? He said in an interview, I'm going to kill this guy, you know?
yeah, he did.
I'm going to send him to Bolivia, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he goes out there, and he couldn't even land. I mean, he says, my hand is hurt, the way Rigondeaux is saying, I hurt my hand. And everybody's like, well, how the fuck did you hurt your hand if you didn't hit him? Yeah, I mean, the weather over here right now in Northern California, I don't know how it is over there in Southern California or anywhere else in the world, or in the world right now, but here in Northern California, the wind is going like, I think, like 40-something miles an hour. I mean, literally, it's going crazy over here, okay? That's
right.
Probably a little exaggerating a little bit more, but it's going crazy.
Back down right now. So it's really
windy. Right? So was it really windy in Canada that he was punching against the wind and he hurt his fist, his knuckles? I don't know. But
I doubt it.
I think that's doubted too. But I think it had a lot to do with Saunders. I could have touched the guy, you know. So he was probably punching Saunders' shadow. Then his shadow had a pretty good. He was pretty hard headed and hurt his hand. I can't think of anything else.
No, me neither. But at the same time, if he had not like probably like injured his hand, like he never controlled range. You know, he was never like really close to him at all. Like the most of the fight. Never,
he landed
never.
Some decent body shots. Let's give him that. He landed some. He might have hurt his hand. He might have hurt his hand hitting the hip. What about that?
Right.
Let's give him that.
Yeah,
he might have hurt his hand hitting
that.
The hip.
I'll give him that.
You know what I mean? But you know, like I said, fight fans are very unconvincing. We're very uncompassionate. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. Look what happened to Rigondeaux. You know. Fight fans didn't give a shit about what he had to say or what background he came from. They just dogged out the guy, and I think with Lemieux saying that I think they're going to be more forgiving with Lemieux, though. He's a slugger. He has exciting fights.
Like I
said, and in the middleweight division, he is the John Molina Jr., the gladiator of the middleweight division. Put him in with the right opponent, you're guaranteed exciting, right? Exactly,
man. They're very similar.
Anyway.
You put the right guy right in front of him, and he's going to get a good action fight, you know. But you put a guy that uses the ring like BJ, like, wow, you know, he's going to make you look bad. And then, but I'm surprised with Golden Boy. This ring had to be like 20 square foot around. Easy. It wasn't like 17 square feet. You can tell.
No.
It did look real big.
It
know?
Did, man. It was massive, you know. But, hey. BJ Saunders is the champion. It's probably by his request, you know. He holds the title, and you know Golden Boy, you know, they gamble with it. You got to give Golden Boy props too. I know a lot of people shit on Golden Boy. They're like, oh man, blah blah blah. You know, this was a risky fight. We knew that. Like I said, I knew that Saunders brought to the table boxing skills, but did I think he could keep it up? I wasn't quite sure about it. Anyways, man,
right,
thanks for calling in, man. I'm going to put you back on hold. I really appreciate the call.
Thank you, man.
Let's patch in another fight fan here really quick. I mean, I'll go again. I think right now with David Lemieux, where both guys go, I think the position where BJ Saunders is at this moment, he could sit it out. He could wait till May. It's 6 months away. See what happens after there. But here's the thing. He's going to wait a whole year. So he's out for another year. So who does he – I mean, he just has to pick somebody else that's not in the top 5-6 at the moment. And I think that's what's going to piss fight fans off, you know, because they're like – it's like a stake into your career. You're killing the momentum. And fight fans don't like seeing that. We want to see the best fight the best. But can you blame them? Because of the way the models have been kind of set up in these last couple of years for fighters – the way things have been shown is fighters are becoming businessmen. They're not just stepping in the ring with boxing trunks. They're stepping in the ring with a business suit, the business mentality of, hey, I need to make all I can to move forward in this business. I got to get all I can get. And as us fight fans, because we don't get a piece of that, the only thing that we get a piece of is the memory of the fight. Just like now, this is a great memory of what happened just a few hours ago between BJ Saunders and David Lemieux for the WBO strap. So BJ Saunders to me is in a great position, but he's got to keep himself busy. Why? Because whoever he gets next between Canelo and Triple G, which I think they would gratefully take on next, because he is, he's a great boxer, but he doesn't have that punch that is too dangerous. So it's a good matchup for either one of those guys, the winner of that, to go after and have the, you know, all the straps. They call himself undisputed, right? They could be really the undisputed. They don't have anybody in the background going, well, and woohoo, hello, I got a strap. It's called the WBO, right? David Lemieux, there's some psychology there he's going to have to jump over. Let's be honest. A fighter's pride, once it's penetrated, has to be rebuilt. because that's normally what they go in. They go in with this confidence. There's a certain swag about a fighter, believing in themselves. If you could break that, well, sometimes they don't come back the same again. I don't think that would happen with David Lemieux because he can't, he's come off losses. You know, he lost to, you know, Rubio, like I said, came off of a, you know, came off of being knocked out, gassed out really early in his career. It was like 20-something in his fights in his career, you know, and then goes in with Triple G and took a good one-sided beating. He was being outboxed, but being, you know, Triple G is a much harder puncher than BJ Saunders. Now he gets in with BJ Saunders in front of all his family and friends, like I said, 15 minutes away from his home, and gets a boxing lesson school. So I think that's a bigger hump. I think he's going to sit out for a while. He's got to kind of re-examine, hey, where did I go wrong? He's got to switch it up, which is very difficult for a puncher to do because a puncher relies on his punch. A puncher knows they can get himself out of a certain situation. So the other guys, Danny Jacob, Demetrius Andre, or, you know, that's what he likes to call him, Andre. It's, you know, I know in the beginning it was Andrade, but Andre. You also have, you know, lingering out there in the PBC universe is Charlo, which I think we're all are growing to love because the guy has some serious power, but he needs to step it up as well. Let me patch into my buddy here, Noel. Noel, are you there, brother?
I'm right here, man.
How you doing, man? So we both were wrong. We both got to eat crow.
Absolutely. I hear you, man.
I don't know about you, dude, but I'm going to put some, you know, I got some homemade salsa. I'm going to put a little bit on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to put some of that, or if you don't even have that, you got to put some tapatio on it, whatever you have.
Tapatio,
it doesn't matter.
Tapatio, you name
meat,
it,
whatever.
Dude, you know? Put some, have some beans, some crushed beans on the side. Modelo, whatever makes it taste a little bit better. But I got to tell you what, I'm not too upset. I will, right? I'm not too upset about eating crow, about BJ Saunders beating the guy. You know what? He rubbed me wrong when he got in with, what was the kid's name? Monroe, right? When his son did the sucker punch on Willie, on Little Willie. And I think, honestly, did you see when the camera kind of spun around and went into the little boy and he's like, my daddy's winning. It was just like, I think I ate the crow right there from the kid. Like, a little kid was able to tell us, like, hey, for you guys that picked Lemieux, this is what you get. Like, he got another sucker punch on everybody's willy, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we both picked him by knockout. Gabriel did too. And I don't know. I mean, he completely made him look like an amateur. Like if this was his second or third fight in the pros or something, you know, this guy, I mean, he went around the ring, he boxed the shit out of him, and Lemieux didn't know how to cut off the ring. He, you know, he was punching air, he's punching his shadow, like you said earlier. And I mean, if you have all that power, but you're not landing, if you're not strategically sound, then you're no good against a fighter like that.
Willie the Inchworm Monroe is with Richard Matthews at Rich 0671 said right now. Yeah, I mean, that's a good one. I like that one, man. I have to retweet that really quick. Yeah, like I said, you know, he goes out there. He does. I mean, look, if you're going to be a trash talker, if you're going to be a Camacho, if you're going to be a Floyd, are you going to be any of these guys James Toney?
Back your shit up.
You got to back your shit up. Okay. That's the one thing
Absolutely. That
fight fans love. You know, hey, look,
100%.
Talk all the crap you want. Do whatever you want. You know, because that's what sell fights sometimes as well. But, you know, look at Mayorga was phenomenal talking crap, but a lot of times he fell short. He couldn't back it up.
Are you kidding me?
He did it with Vernon Warren.
He was sleeping with Oscar's wife and this and that, and then he ends up getting his ass beat. Like, come on, bro.
Exactly. But he couldn't live up to it. BJ Saunders.
Absolutely.
You know, went out there. I mean, he was talking to, but he did. Hey, listen, David Lemieux was doing the same thing though, too. You know what I mean? I'm going to kill a guy. I'm going to beat him down. But I was honestly, I was eating up what Lemieux was saying. I'm like, yeah, listen, he's going to do it. He's going to kill him. You know, I mean, this guy has got a
same here, but I did not know that BJ Saunders was going to be boxing like that. And then the stuff that
I
BJ
knew
Saunders
he could box
does
like
at
that.
The end of the fight. Well, but I didn't see, but yeah.
I
but,
knew he
I
could
know,
box
just,
like that. I didn't think he could box
I,
for
I,
that
I just
long
didn't
like
know
that,
he
though.
That long, exactly. I was like, how is he going this long? What the hell, man? You know, and like for David Lemieux not even be able to get him in a corner or anything and start, like, you know, whomping on him, nothing.
All I could hear, it's crazy. Honestly, in the back of my ears while I was watching BJ Saunders outbox David Lemieux was, these stupid Yanks. I told you that BJ Saunders was going to go out there and outbox him, but you didn't want to listen. I didn't want to listen. I had a few people that were hitting me up. I mean, not a few, but there was a lot on the Leading Ring Gmail and asking me, hey, what was your pick? Blah, blah, you didn't do the show. What happened? Blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. I think you were scared to come on and be committed to your David Lemieux pick.
Why were you scared, David?
Hey, obviously this is why. This is why I was scared to come on and do my pick, right? Because I was going to be made
I'll make
out,
my pick anonymous.
Like
don't even trip.
Right? So, yeah, he goes out there. He does his thing. And like I said, he's in a great position right now to sit back and wait. The pressure is going to be whether or not – what is he going to do next? You know, Danny Jacobs could obviously call him out, but the money, he's not going to really be there. He's looking for that Triple G – well, actually, he's looking for that Canelo money, but he knows, secondly, the Triple G money as well. I mean, Triple G, like our very first caller from the UK said, hey, that would be a Super Bowl over there. You know, that's going to be huge. And I think so, too. Well, I think it's going to be massive, man. Especially with the way BJ Saunders, you know, made David Lemieux look. Because in a lot of ways,
yeah, but
they're going to make
But Triple G and Canelo are not David Lemieux.
Oh, no.
Those guys are on a totally different level than that guy.
Totally
they can cut off
level.
The ring. They can cut
level,
off the ring.
Better...
They can make boxers
yep.
come into their web. You know what I mean?
But Canelo has shown that if you're able to outbox him the way like Laura, Floyd, even like Austin Trout, he has problems. He has problems setting
okay,
styles because he's
but,
not known to be an aggressor. He's a counter. He's a natural counterpuncher.
But how old was Canelo when he fought Floyd? And how much has he come along since then? And what did he learn from that?
No, I agree with
just
you.
Saw the
I agree with you. But it still goes back to he's a natural counter puncher. He needs a guy that look, the success that he had with Triple G is because he didn't stalk Triple G. He was able to sit back and allow Triple G to be Golovkin. It wasn't the other way around.
Yeah,
With BJ Saunders, let me ask you.
He was testing his strength. He was testing him cutting off the ring. He was trying to test him the whole time. He wanted to see test his power, let him come to him and counter him just like
but
you're
that's
saying.
His
yeah,
fight style. He's always fought like that. You know, he's always like, let the guy come to me. He fights better like that. What I've seen from Canelo, he's not a good pressure fighter. To me, BJ Saunders and him is a good fight. Triple G is a different animal. Like I said, two different Lemieux, G, two different animals, two different ways to tame. G can cut the ring off. He's known to cut the ring off. He's really good at cutting that ring off. He's really good at making that ring a lot smaller than what it is. If it's 24, he's going to make it 16. That's an interesting fight.
Something that they'll negotiate for sure.
They would definitely negotiate. But going with Canelo, it's definitely an interesting fight because you have a natural counterpuncher that's going to have to go again, become the aggressor the way he did with James Kirtland. the way he did against Amir Khan.
And you cannot punish Canelo the way you're planning to, especially, you know, if you're a pressure fighter or a boxer, it doesn't matter. You want to throw that jab and you want to throw those hooks and all that. If you saw Canelo Triple G, Canelo just comes back with his arm up and he was looking at the punches going by.
What's a more exciting fight? Let me ask you this. What's a more exciting fight if it was signed? Do you think a more exciting fight is BJ Saunders versus Triple G or BJ Saunders versus Canelo Alvarez? Which one would you sign up for?
Billy Joe Saunders versus Daniel Jacobs.
I don't think that would happen though. I'm saying between Canelo and Triple G, Triple G, right? Yeah, I think that's the more exciting out of all of them.
Like even if Triple G won against Canelo in the upcoming fight, that's going to happen this year, and that's a for sure. No one needs to put a doubt in their head.
I still say Canelo and Lemieux is a great fight.
That would be an exciting fight. Lemieux just needs to go back to the drawing board and get his legs right. You know, he needs to learn. Maybe he needs a new trainer. I don't fucking know, but he needs to learn how to cut off the ring and, move that torso and start dodging shit. Because that guy looked like a fucking amateur in this fight tonight.
Yeah, he did. You know, I think you're right. I think he does need to go, maybe move forward, maybe get away from Canada, come to the States, or
he
go somewhere else. Even go to the UK.
To Robert or something.
Freddie Roach. Joel Diaz.
Joel Diaz, absolutely. Joel Diaz.
You know, even Manuel, the guy that trains, can't even think of his name right now. The trainer right now that's working with Robles, even Manny
yes.
Robles. You know,
yeah,
those three guys.
He needs to get with. I mean, I don't want to be like be that guy, but he needs to get to the American, Mexican-American, or whatever. Just the U.S. Southern California trainers, because they know what the fuck they're doing, to tell you the truth.
Well, they're more or less like, guys, hey, look, they pressure fighters work
Roach
better with
pressure-minded
trainers. Right. Exactly.
Like a mother. You know, he helped them with his dodging, you know, like just his footwork. You know,
it didn't help him out. It didn't help him out against
Cotto
Ali, but yeah, I know what you're saying. I'm saying it didn't help him out with Ali against Ali, but hey, I know what you're saying. But yeah,
he's on his way out, dog. He was thinking about his family. You know, we already know that one.
Right. You know, and then like I said, you know, Danny Jacobs versus Dmitry Andrade or Charlo. That to me is a great, exciting fight. I got to go back again. Canelo, Golovkin, and Saunders right now are the three players that can play with each other at the moment in the playground. The three
yeah,
other
but,
guys
but
on the
Eddie
outs.
Hearn want? Why did Danny Jacobs go to Eddie Hearn? He's like, okay, take care of business over here with Luis Arias, and then. And then we'll see what happens after
he
that.
He took care of business, you know. I think that
absolutely. So why should
right.
he go with some other guys around the same or lesser marketing value?
Because he's not the
Eddie Hearn is a marketing genius. You know what I mean? He knows
he's
what
got
he
got
knows.
I don't know about a marketing genius, but here, look it. You have Danny Jacobs that's
Anthony
been in the fight game,
bro.
I know that, but he had Anthony Joshua from the beginning. He didn't have Danny Jacobs, who's already in the middle of his career. He's in, the second half of his career. His first half, he was
exactly.
Golden Boy.
So,
he gets knocked out. He gets knocked out. He goes. He defeats cancer. He comes back. Now his second half. No, actually, this is his third half. This third part of his career. He was with Al Haymon. Now he's still with Al Haymon. He's being advised by Al Haymon, but he's with Eddie Hearns. He's still a guy that doesn't have the muscle to say, this is why I'm going to fight next. He has to accept what comes his way. And that's what I'm saying. The other guys that
but that's
are
what
not,
a promoter
you know, not the Charlos,
and that's what they're supposed to.
What I'm saying, like, and the other guys like Charlos, PBC, they're almost in that same. They're not in that same position because they could still fight PBC guys. Demetrius Andres is in the same position as Danny Jacobs, I think. What was that? I'm sorry.
Okay. I said they're still young in their career. They're still young guys. Daniel Jacobs, like you said, is in the second, third part of his career. Like, he needs to get what he can get right now. Where right now, like, he's a talented individual. He's not the youngest cat on the block. And,
right, but that's what I'm saying. I don't think he's going to be getting Canelo or Triple G or Saunders anytime soon. So he's going to have to accept I think he's going to have to
fight. Three fights out, probably.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to have to really – I think the perception that he's going to have to kind of accept as reality is he's going to have to say, hey, Demetrius Andre, you're part of HBO. I'm part of HBO. Let's make it happen while we wait. Because Dave Lemieux is going to be out for a while. Like I said, I think Dave Lemieux is going to take some time. He's going to have to rebuild himself. I'll say it again. To me, Dave Lemieux is the John Molina of the division, John Molina Jr. He's a guy
needs a new trainer. I mean, absolutely.
He
has the power.
But with a new trainer, I just don't see him honestly beating the top level guys because he doesn't have the footwork.
I don't think so either. I don't think so either. But I mean, with the new trainer, I mean, I don't know. Cotto was always a talented individual, and then when he went with Freddie Roach towards the end of his career, it heightened his abilities even more. But,
well, it heightened
his
abilities because let's be honest, Freddie Roach has always been a good matchmaker. Freddie Roach has always been like, hey, let me put you in with this guy that would kind of glorify you in a certain way, and it's gonna complement your style, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Look, there's many ways to skin a cat in boxing. And Lemieux's got to go back to the drawing board. And like I said, he may not win a lot of these fights that we're mentioning with these other talented middleweights at the moment because they're big, they're tall, they're strong, and they all seem to be boxer punchers, okay, except for Canelo. Canelo is a guy that he carries 147 power, but he's a good boxer. He's a good counterpuncher. He's got ring intelligence. You can't take that away from the guy. That's what makes him stand out. He stands out in the middleweight division because he does have a good boxing IQ. If he didn't, he would have got knocked out with Triple G. You know?
Absolutely.
Even though Triple G did land some solid shots, so it does benefit Canelo that he has a good jaw. You know, but you got to contribute all the other stuff that comes along with his arsenal of tools that he brings in the ring. And one of them is ring intelligence, which is a big plus, as you know, in the sport of boxing, you know. And Lemieux,
ring IQ is huge.
Yeah, and with Lemieux, like you saw, he doesn't make adjustments, doesn't cut off the ring. If you can out-jab him while he's jabbing, bro, there's a major problem there. And I saw BJ Saunders do that. What's that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, I don't know if anybody else saw this also, but I don't know. Lemieux, when they shot him inside of his locker room, he looked a little bit flabby. I don't know. He looked a little bit flabby to me.
It looked like water weight.
As soon as I don't know, but
the way he looked on weigh-in to then, I tell you, man, it didn't look muscle. It looked like water. He looked really drained at that weight, at the weigh-in. So I just can't see him.
Like they were saying, BJ Saunders is a more natural 160 than this guy, you know?
Yeah.
He's a bigger man, and he's... I don't know. He like we were saying. I mean, it's just like we all ate crow. Fuck it. And he outboxed the guy. But what really gets on my nerves, like I said this shit with Terrence Crawford also. Like, not Terrence Crawford. I'll get to that later. But Conor McGregor against Nate Diaz in their last UFC fight. You know, he starts running away from the guy at the edges of the octagon. That's what BJ Saunders was doing at this fight, you know, because now at that point, he knew he was getting gas and he's not trying to risk anything. And that's fine. But I don't know. That just really just gets on my nerves, man.
I didn't see that. I honestly didn't see that. I saw a guy that just fought his game plan. Yeah, maybe I got to watch it. But I saw a guy that stuck to his game plan, that tested the waters of how damaged or how tired Lemieux was, which he did. I think he did it on the 6th. I believe he did it on the 8th or 9th. It was the 10th or 11th where he saw that Lemieux still has some dog in him, and he stayed away from it. He understood, hey, listen, I'm way ahead on the points with the judges. You know, the only way they can take it, they're going to rob it from me. But so why risk it? I'd rather risk being robbed
where I can get the fans to favor me.
You know what I mean? And then do something stupid. And that's what I'm saying. He fought a very smart fight. He took the risk that were at the momentum of his timing. He took the risk that were timed for him. You can't take that away from a very smart fighter. He's a smart guy. No. You know what I mean? I can't be mad at that.
But just the end round where you're actually like running away from a guy, you know, instead of doing what he was doing, you know what I mean? He was actually
I agree, but you know what? There's a difference.
Walking around,
BJ Saunders fought him. Whereas if you were talking about De La Hoya versus Trinidad, where he threw those last four rounds away, I would agree with you. The way Danny Garcia and Keith Thurman, when Keith Thurman decided to say after the 6th, 7th round, he's like, oh, I'm done.
Keith Thurman
and
too. That's the one. That's what BJ Saunders do any of that though.
So I gotta disagree. I didn't see BJ Saunders do any of that. You know? Okay, give him one round. You're gonna punish him for one round? Come on. One round?
I'm not gonna punish him. I just don't like guys doing that. I mean, it's just to me that's just like, oh my gosh. I even tweeted. I said Billy Joe. I put Billy Joe Saunders. You know, son this guy. Son Lemieux. And coming back, looking at through my timeline, apparently I typed Billy Ho Saunders.
Yeah, I saw that. You know,
that's an Apple correction, autocorrect mess up. That was not me. I promise you that. I gave him all my respect earlier.
Absolutely, I swear, man. All right, brother. I'm gonna put you back on hold. Okay. Appreciate the call, man.
All right, man.
That's my boy Noel here and stuff. Really quick, I'm gonna read some tweets off here on Leaving the Ring. Richard Mathers says, Canelo shows weak stamina in later rounds. Canelo will have big problems against Saunders. You know, I mean, you're right. He showed that even with the biggest fight of his career, which I believe was muscle mass that really slowed him down, because as we know, as your body carries more muscle, you obviously you're not going to be as mobile and you're carrying more on you. So when you got a guy that's coming forward and pressuring you, it's obviously going to make you tense up a little quicker. So it's going to gas you out a little more. But with BJ Saunders, like I said, the styles make fights. You know, Canelo hasn't always looked the greatest being the pressure guy. Okay? He's not a good pressure person. A perfect example is Juan Marquez. You know, when he had to chase down Floyd, he had to get out of his comfort zone. Canelo is more comfortable being the counterpuncher. So it's an interesting fight to see whether or not he would be able to cut off the ring, because as we saw when he fought little guys, they had to chase down like Amir Khan. It took him a minute, you know, and I would have to say, you know, and I think everybody would agree on this, BJ Saunders is no Amir Khan. He could take a punch, and he'll be able to take Canelo's punch. So very interesting fight, and I think so as well. Saunders will have a lot of problems against him. From Pablo Flores, from Plea Flores, underscore 29 says, I have to believe Canelo would do better than Lemieux did tonight. Danny Jacobs would do good as well. Absolutely. I think so too. And that's why I said, I don't think BJ Saunders would put his big money payday in jeopardy by facing a tall, strong middleweight, a boxer puncher like Danny Jacobs. I don't think he would do that. I think that he's going to understand, hey, look, I'd rather sit out, find somebody else at the moment that's not in the top 10 or the top 5. I'll find somebody else, which he can. The WBO will find somebody for him, for, you know, make it a mandatory defense, okay? And then he'll wait out to see what happens after Triple G and Canelo. If the rematch is made and agreed on, it may be a early birthday present if they don't sign on and agree on the money and the venue. What I'm hearing that the venue is the last thing that is going on the dotted line. So if they don't agree on a venue, the strong possibility BJ Saunders squeezes in. You know, so absolutely that there, you know, and I, you know, to say that David Lemieux for Canelo would do better than David Lemieux, of course, I think so too. David Lemieux and Canelo are completely different styles, different fighters and stuff, you know. Canelo's he's a natural counterpuncher, where Lemieux is an aggressive fighter. Just going down the line over here really quick. Anyways, guys, hey. Again, I wanted to do this show because I didn't, you know, do anything this week and stuff. Unfortunately, with work and life, it sometimes catches up, so I have to, you know, tend to that first. But I'm trying my best to always come on a little bit more. We do have a new show coming up in January. An ex-executive marketing HBO employee will be doing a podcast show here on the Leaving the Ring Network, joining the family here, and it's going to be strictly about the business of boxing. The betting odds, the statistic network numbers, that kind of realm of education that he's going to kind of gear towards to. Okay. And then, you know, we got the next round, and I'm going to come back and try to do a regular Leaving the Ring. And I do like this post thought show that we did here. I've got a lot of calls here and stuff. And so I'm going to try to continue that here, man. So I appreciate everybody that called in and, you know, talk boxing here and either celebrated their pick or ate their crow here on Leaving the Ring. Again, I got to eat my crow. Hats off to BJ Saunders. Did his thing and made it a great night of boxing. So this later on this week, we'll be back again and we'll talk about the undercards and we'll just kind of recap what we talked about tonight here on Leaving the Ring. Everybody have a great night. Enjoy your night. Don't drink and drive because you will spill your beer. I'm your host, Dave Duenas. As always, a pleasure to be on the radio show here with you guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros, Leaving the Ring.
Every bit of Christmas is living well. Sainsbury's, live well for less.